Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot. Mr. Salty Saul, what's going on, man? How you doing? How you living?
Amazing.
Change it up for you a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I like it to, you know what I mean? Like, we need a little variety sometimes.
Like my women, I need variety.
Oof. Oh, God. Ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, we're going to talk about the Brazilian elections. They elected a leftist president, but there's rumors of a military coup. We'll see what happens. Also, Elon continues to troll the left. I'm going to share some of these tweets with you guys. He gave it really hard to AOC, and it was glorious to read and watch. Also, the SCOTUS wrecked basically affirmative action in the hearings that they had this week on Harvard versus was it Asians, some group that is claiming that the universities are racist against Asians. We're going to hear some of those arguments and questions from the judges. All right, we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
You know, Saul,
yeah,
I kind of miss your AOC.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about that. Alejandro Ocasio-Cortez.
I was thinking about that. Become even more socialist.
My girlfriend. My girlfriend AOC.
Yeah.
That Latina booty.
I did leave out one of the biggest ones also, which is the government has been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and they are basically impeding on free speech. We will definitely cover that. I didn't cover it on the intro, but that's a big one. Yeah.
There's actually one other big one that I forgot to put in the chat for as a topic today. And I know we don't have to get to it. Amnesty for COVID amnesty. So all the people on the left that hated on all the unvaccinated, they're all claiming, oh, we need COVID amnesty now. And we all need to come together and forget how we all treated each other back.
You were a dick. I'm not going to forget that.
Oh, dude, it's fire.
All those people, they need to be held accountable, man.
We could do an entire month on that.
They need to be held accountable for the shitty, knee-jerk, dumbass decisions that they made. They all need to be held accountable for
it. I think what's happening is that they're seeing that the Republicans are about to take over and there's hearings coming. And, you know, Heidi makes this point all the time. Nothing ever happens. But, you know, watching them squirm in defense of this bullshit, it was bullshit, guys, is worth it. Because these people need to be dragged in and be questioned for the shit that they did.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Heidi, you got anything for us on dealing with Heidi?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been missing this.
Tim has not been healed for quite some time.
I need Jesus.
Well, you do. I don't know how to fix that.
I almost found him this weekend. Uh-oh.
You?
Okay, well, in the meantime, yet to be seen. 10 creative ways to keep a positive attitude.
Oh, right.
I want to become a manager, they said.
Yeah, no.
So here we go. First one. Start a gratitude journal.
I like that.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I feel like you.
I feel like this is being directed towards me. I feel like your microaggressions
Let's go with that.
Are coming in really hot.
I've missed you so much.
I don't like your microaggressions.
I'm trying to.
I need my safe
help
place.
You manage your. Yeah, I'm a safe place. You. Okay. Number two, treat yourself to some self care every day.
Hey, that's
Number three. Oh my gosh.
Please, no.
Number three, start every morning strong.
Yes.
Four, avoid spreading gossip.
Can't help that.
Five, crack more jokes.
Yeah.
Six, take real breaks. Seven, have something to look forward to after work. Eight, practice meditation. Nine, focus on the long term instead of the short term. And 10, listen to music that matches your mood.
I listen to a variety of music. I don't know.
I don't really listen to a whole lot of music. So, really?
Yeah, he doesn't.
So you know what? For when I'm driving to work now, I don't listen to music. I listen to talk radio.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's all podcasts for me.
Yeah.
I have so many podcasts.
And I'm not angry. I'm not angry driving in traffic.
How are you? Well, then who are you listening to?
Well, I mean, I listen to Steve, you know, Bannon, you know, at 7 o'clock, you know, like War Room
Gloom
Pandemic.
And Doom.
Huh?
Gloom and Doom?
Not politics. And then I listen to wrestling in the morning. My wrestling.
Wait, there's a wrestling podcast?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
There's a podcast
Busted
for
Open Radio, man.
Well, that's true. Listen to us.
I mean, they're on satellite radio, so I listen
Everybody's got
morning.
A podcast. I mean, just look at us.
Yeah, right?
And we're about to get merch.
I can't listen to some podcasts in the morning. I can't listen to this one because you're yelling and screaming. I can't listen to Adam Carolla because he yells and screams in the morning. I need to listen to... Yeah, I can't do that.
Listen to Ben Shapiro. His little whiny-ass voice to put you right
no,
to
no, no, no. I can't listen to...
Let me tell you something about the government.
I was listening to the 50. I was listening to the 50 Shades of Grey books.
Oh Jesus!
Then, I'm not even.
I've had
comment.
Too much of Grey lately, so I can't listen to that.
No wonder why she put herself to sleep at 7 o'clock last night.
Is she attacking you lately, Jeremy?
Not COVID.
Not really. No.
Not this week. You know what I found is this is actually a really good thing because what I have found is when the kids and I are playful with Jeremy, we make him angry. But when he wants to be playful, we don't want to have any of it because we're not allowed to be playful back.
So basically what you're saying is you guys are all on your cycle together, bitchy and moany.
Whenever Jeremy's on his cycle, it makes all the rest of us bitchy and moany, pretty much.
Anywho. Dude, that was some really good Heidi.
Healing.
Heidi.
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be healing with
I know, and she's talking shit the whole time.
Talking shit the whole time.
I was not talking shit the whole time.
Way to be. Hey, everybody be happy in life. 10 best ways to be happy. Yeah, let's fucking dig and talk shit about the people you're on the podcast with.
Find ways to be positive.
Yeah, and you're talking shit. It's not positive. My aura right now, it doesn't feel
aura.
It. I'm not vibing
wow,
with you right
aura.
Now. I'm not vibing with this one over here. Her microaggressions.
They're not micro. They're just aggressions.
Yeah, it's just aggression.
I'm going to give it the okay and the thumbs up.
Up the butt? Wait, what?
Well, thank you, no, but okay, Heidi, on a serious note, a lot of what they talked about, I know I'm guilty. I don't do.
We're all guilty.
I don't think
it.
I do any
life.
Of the day-to-day, let alone.
Life gets in the way, man.
Well, life is a thing. It's a thing.
I mean... What is that one? That was it? A journal? Write something. What was the first one? What was the first
yeah,
one?
State. Yeah, a journal. Positive thoughts in a journal. Hold on. How do they say it?
Pleasure yourself every day.
Start Jeez. A gratitude journal.
Yeah. Look, Dennis Prager says this all the time. Grateful people tend to create happy people. Being grateful in life, you end up being happy, and And I think we forget that living in America, it's a blessing and it's a curse because we live it so good, man. And we forget how good we have it. You know, people talk about how they want to be famous and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, there's parts of the world that wish they'd had your boring lifestyle.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
And we're about Very to get true. Into that.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, did you have anything for us on
the J Files?
The J Files. All right. So for the avid listener, I'm sure that they're aware that we have some opinions on art on this podcast.
Well,
some of us, most of us, I guess. So apparently, I found this article about art. So,
modern art.
Yeah, a modern artist. Yeah, this guy. Anyways, Mondrian. You ever hear of Mondrian?
Put it up in the chat.
Piet Mondrian.
No, what is that?
Anyways, Mondrian art has been hanging upside down for 75 years, and no one noticed.
Because it probably wasn't good.
Oh, it's shit.
I
want to
see what it looks
point.
Like. What
yeah,
it
throw the
like.
Article up on the chat.
Yeah, I want to see the...
I don't have it. It's not on my computer.
So where is that? Mondrian?
Mondrian. So, but they're concerned that if they turned it around, it could get damaged because it's been hanging upside down for so long And so you, I guess you really do. Yeah. You need to see the art. It's basically, it's a white canvas. He took yellow, red, blue, and black tape and just exactly those right there. He just stretched the tape across the canvas and just put it down.
That's art?
That is garbage. But the point is...
No, wait, I'm confused. That's upside down?
That's upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, can't you tell?
Upside down versus right side up.
You had can't you tell? A degree in art, you can't would tell? Know this, Heidi.
It looks like something like a two-year-old made.
Yeah.
It looks like my husband made it with a ruler.
Yeah.
And tape. It looks like something I put on the floor to keep the dogs out of the kitchen.
You're doing something wrong, Jeremy.
I'm not selling my gar. Yeah.
Or exactly. he did it so we know where the chore lists and dates and.
Basically, a famous 1941 work by Dutch abstract artist Pierre Mondrain, I think that's how you say that, Mondrain, has been hanging upside down for the last 75 years, as an art historian has discovered.
But how did they decide that it was up?
Exactly.
How
did they discover? Let me read my story.
Didn't interrupt them.
But the work, New York City Eye, or New York City One, I'm not sure which one it's supposed to be, which features bright lines of red, yellow, black, and blue tape on a white background, will likely continue to be displayed the wrong way because to change it could damage it. The adhesive tape are already extremely loose and hanging by a thread, the art historian said. If we were to turn it upside down now, gravity would pull it into another direction and ruin part of the work.
Who cares?
Yeah. The work was publicly displayed in New York Museum of Modern Art in 1945. Since 1980, it has been part of an art collection in Dusseldorf. So you would ask, a photograph of the artist's studio taken days after his death and published in Town and Country magazine in June of 1944 shows the work still sitting on the easel the right way up. So that's how they determined it was upside down, because the artist apparently was still working on it. It was sitting on his easel the correct way up. But whenever they packaged it up and sent it to the museum, they flipped it upside down and nobody noticed.
You know, and nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Well, I guess I don't care. Do you care?
My 10 things were better.
If this was real art, right? That people could admire, right? And you don't have to have an art degree to know, that this was upside down. Everybody could tell, but because this is garbage, it's garbage, guys. I mean, I'm looking at trash. It's basically, it looks like masking tape. That's what we called
it. Electrical tape is what I was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
but then I was like, well, this could happen to a Michelangelo painting, because that movie that referenced it, was it
Angels and Demons, or?
Yeah, with the angels beneath us or something like that. The devil's
What was that, Heidi? The Da Vinci Code.
No, so
it's Michelangelo piece.
And this piece here, and I know the film, the movie.
This is different.
Man of Steel had this, where you had what looked like angels, reaching down and fighting with demons, but you could have flipped it upside down, and it would look the same way, right? You could flip it upside down, and so this is a painting that this could happen too. But you know what I mean? Like, at least you can appreciate it either way. This other painting by Mondrain, shit. It's trash.
Mondrian.
It's poo-poo.
So here's the deal. Mondrian is regarded as one of the greatest artists of the 20th century and a pioneer of the modern abstract style.
Exactly.
Minimalism and expressionism. Yeah. Bullshit.
It's shit.
Art sucks.
Is all of his work look like that?
Well, it's all the abstract, stylish stuff. So
okay, so I'm just curious. Abstract art in general.
It means it's not art. They just... feel like it.
Has there ever been a piece of abstract art where you're like, oh, that's, I like that. That's great.
I would have to see more of it.
It's abstract. Yeah. So, people, it's abstract. It's your,
Abstract. Yeah, abstract.
It wasn't the question.
Why don't you continue to use the word in the definition of the word?
Abstract art. That
everything is abstract.
Abstract.
I can look at a Michelangelo painting and be like,
blue check mark of the ancient world of the world. Of the art world. It's that blue check mark. It gives people a reason
makes them
to
feel
exactly
good.
It means shit. It's crap.
It okay.
is crap.
All right.
I need stronger healing with Heidi's before we go into some of this sometime.
you came in hot, anger. So you can't complain now.
Right? I know. I did come in hot.
All right. Well, let's get into the topic. So, and you know what? I'm going to let you guys decide. So we can talk about Elon. We can talk about the Brazilian elections. We can talk about the Department of Homeland Security and the shit that they're pulling.
I want Elon and DHS.
Okay. So let's talk Elon.
I mean, Brazil is actually like the most important fucking story out of everything, but outside of the DHS.
It's just chaos in the world. And, I think it's a blueprint of what might happen, what's coming here and what's been happening, which is the stolen elections. And yeah. But before we get there, let's talk about Elon Musk. And so obviously he's, he owns Twitter now. He's making moves. He's fired a bunch of people. And so now he's presenting a plan to charge for a monthly subscription. To have blue check marks, to have a blue check mark and have other perks that go along with a subscription. And the current blue check marks are having a freak out about it. And it's funny to watch. One in particular.
He's asking what, $700 a month? $800 a month?
$8 a month.
$8 a month.
They're complaining about $8 a month.
One frappuccino mochiato.
Blue. Yeah. So I'm not a big Twitter fan, but I'm assuming the blue check mark gives you a sort of prestige in the Twitterverse, right?
Yes, exactly. It's prestige.
It's supposed to say that you are somebody.
Yes.
And these fucking people who are making tens of thousands of dollars, I'm assuming, a month off of Twitter.
But you still have to validate yourself. You have to show proof that it's you. So these idiots are going, oh my God, people are going to try to intimidate me. No, you dumbass. You can't just pay $8 and say, I'm Alec Baldwin.
Right.
Or I'm Donald Trump. Right.
Yeah.
And get a blue check. You have to still prove it's you.
Bunch of crybaby whiny. They have nothing better to do than whine about it.
Well, because the communists. Communists want everything for free.
Yeah. I like what he said to AOC.
Yeah, I was going to show you this. Dude, I was going to show you this.
This blew up on the internet today.
So this is the latest one, but he's been trolling Eric. So AOC tweets this. AOC says, laugh my ass off at a billionaire earnestly trying to sell people on the idea that quote unquote free speech is actually an $8 a month subscription plan. Right, so she's saying, how can people say that this is free speech and now he wants to charge for it? And Elon responds back there and says, your feedback is appreciated. Now pay $8.
but it goes deeper than
her.
That.
He's just trolling her.
So now, but you got to remember, it goes deeper than that. So she goes on and on, right? And somebody turns around and says, hey, what about those billionaires that own the New York Times and Washington Post? And she's like, oh, LOL. She's like, they're verifying their news and their reliable sources and this, that, and the third.
Oh, my ass.
Oh, my God. And then he came back with the sweatshirt. Oh, shit.
So he then, so obviously this is a Twitter war. And so he responds to AOC because, again, AOC is the anti-capitalist, socialist, proud, Che Guevara following. And so capitalism is bad. However, Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez has merchandise. She has a store, guys. And for a Periwinkle Support Crew sweatshirt, she's charging $58.
It cost her like $6 because she had it done overseas on a sweatshop.
No, it says made in the USA.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so, I like some of the responses here. Socialism ain't cheap. but it just shows their hypocrisy, right? Because they're so, we're for the little guy. And yeah, well, why are you charging $58 for a sweatshirt, AOC? Well, you should be giving this shit for free.
It's capitalism, baby. Capitalism. Yes, exactly.
But you see her response? My workers are union, have full health care plus benefits like child help, and everyone is paid a living wage. Proceeds go to community acts like tutoring underserved kids. You're a union buster with an ego problem who pockets the change from underpaying and mistreating people. How dare you? You stole my childhood.
Yes, exactly.
But she also fucking tweeted out, go Lula.
Yeah, they're leftist. And fucking Lula from communist. Brazil. I mean, look, I don't want to... We're scattered here. But let's say... So one thing that the Elon Musk takeover has revealed, and I think, you know, a lot of people are speculating, a lot of conservatives online are speculating that they're trying to get ahead of this. The intelligence agencies are realizing that probably what happened, you know, where we thought that, you know, Elon Musk was going to get the deal with Twitter initially, right? And then he started backtracking, and then it looked like he wasn't going to do it. And then Twitter then, you know, tries to take him to court so that he finalizes it. And so people were saying, well, what was happening there at that time? Why did Elon not want to do it? Now, Elon blamed it on the bot problem. And so his $8 a month subscription is going to get rid of all that. Because Twitter is not the only one to present a subscription-based solution to this, right? To social media. A lot of the dating apps do it. And to Tim's point, it's so that people verify who they are. So you don't have somebody pretending to be somebody else, right? And so this is the thing with... And AOC's complaint against this that, oh, well, that can't be free speech. No, no, you can still post. You're just not going to have your little blue check mark along with it. And so, you know, it removes this... somewhat caste system within Twitter that is offering prestige to those who tote the line of the leftists. Anyway, so here is Elon. He takes ownership and then he starts backtracking. People are saying, well, what's happening? Why is he doing that? And some people thinking that he may have seen some of the shit that was happening between the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm going to read to you this article that came out from The Intercept. That basically broke this news. And I think when Tim sent this to us, this is the biggest news. And it is the biggest news, guys. This is everything.
Of our lifetime, maybe.
Everything that the conspiracy theorists, the Alex Jones, everybody who was talking about the federal government having a hand and basically doing, what is that called? You know what they would do with countries where they would basically inundate them with propaganda. What is that called? There was a term for that.
Color revolution.
Yeah, but it was the CIA. It was spy ops. What they would do is they would disseminate information.
Psyops.
Exactly, psyops. They would disseminate information and basically propaganda, whatever, to overthrow governments, to cause chaos. This is what they've brought it home, guys. And we've had episodes about this, but we didn't have any evidence. Well, here is the initial evidence. And again, people are saying, is this federal agency realizing that there is a red wave coming, that they don't have their tentacles in all the social media platforms? Twitter is a big one, guys. And I don't think people are not realizing how big it is that a guy like Elon Musk, who doesn't, you know, follow the line of the leftist, who's opposing it. We'll see, hopefully, right? But so far, everything that he's doing looks like he is, right? He's disclosing all this information. And I think he even disclosed, what was it that he disclosed to him? You sent us a link that Elon disclosed was it late last week or early this week?
Something about, I think Joel Roth, published, you know, it was something with some communications.
Yeah,
about how they're like, I think it was communications within Twitter, and or somebody was like, you know, we're doing exactly what Elon is accusing us of doing.
Text that, right? That
and I forget what the whole context was, because there's been so much that has come out of this.
Has Elon actually come out and said the government is doing this, or so and so is doing this, or has he just been kind of hinting around it?
He's hinting around it.
Interpreting it.
He's been hinting.
Yeah.
He's been doing things about, like, talking about terms of service and having this this committee that, you know, looks at suspensions and brings people back and how it violates terms of service. So people are upset about that because, you know, you said you were a free speech enthusiast and you were going to let everybody back, but now you're backtracking possibly. And, you're using the same people that have been censoring us forever, and now conservatives are pissed off again. But honestly, I think him personally has to walk a really fine line,
right,
based on what came out of this Intercept article. Because if the government is so knee deep in this, and not to go too far off topic, but Elon has so many critical businesses outside of Twitter that he can't risk losing it all because of this pet project that he got himself involved in, and he ran his mouth and now he's got to own it. But he doesn't want to be Kanye'd because the government's involved now. The government can break him in 2 seconds.
Well,
he's got to walk a fine line.
He has, right? With SpaceX, a lot of that shit.
Well, Tesla, SpaceX.
Yeah,
Does Tesla have government contracts?
But it's all tied together.
There's legislation.
All those companies,
They can cripple
him. Yeah. They can.
Right.
They can if they want to. I mean, they're doing it to Kanye.
Right. But now you're messing with the government. Kanye was messing with, just businesses. You are now messing with every government in the world. You got to walk a really fine line.
Let me read this article here because this is important, guys. Oh, my God. Again, everything that the conspiracy theorists said is turning out to be true. And this is scary that our government has turned against us. And it's, right now, Biden gave a speech. Was this in, where did Biden give this speech? Illinois? I don't know where he's at right now. He's trying to rescue Democrats.
I think it was in Florida.
He's in the basement Florida.
He's been working overtime.
Oh, they got him, trying to rally the Democrats to go out and vote. But every speech that he's giving, he's basically, scaremongering people into calling the right, ultra MAGA, mega MAGA.
Mega MAGA.
And that's the new one, mega MAGAs.
We're mega.
That are a threat to democracy. And so you cannot elect. This is how he's talking, man. This is fucking.
I saw an article on Bing about that. He's out there, Republicans are threatening democracy.
Yeah.
How can he get away with saying that? How can he?
Because he's on the left. The left can say whatever they want. Yeah. They control the narrative.
Let me read it. Here is the evidence that they control the narrative, guys. And they've been working. They've colluded. Everything that they blame Trump for doing, they did. And remember that Time article we brought up? They bragged about this. They bragged about the collusion that they did. And here is the evidence. Because there could be plausible deniability. The government was like, we didn't say that. Well, here's the evidence. Let me read this. The Department of Homeland Security is quietly broadening its efforts to curb speech it considers dangerous. An investigation by The Intercept has found years of internal DHS memos, emails, and documents obtained via leaks on it and an ongoing lawsuit, as well as public documents. So again, they've disclosed this because there's legal cases that are happening. And so the work, much of which remains unknown to the American public, came into clear view earlier this year when DHS announced a new disinformation governance board. You guys remember this? Is that crazy girl who, and then eventually they got dismantled because there was a lot of criticism from men. It's like, what the fuck? This sounds like the Information of Truth from 1984, guys. And so they quickly, disassembled that. So here it is. Behind closed doors and through pressure on private platforms, the U.S. government has used its power to try to shape online discourse. Okay? According to meeting minutes and other records appended to lawsuit filed by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, a Republican who was also running for Senate. All right, so this is how they... Okay, so here is a quote. So this is Microsoft executive Matt Masterson saying this. Platforms have to get comfortable with government. It's really interesting how hesitant they remain. Again, these are people who are in executive positions telling us that we need to trust our government because they have our best interests in mind. All right. In a March meeting, Laura Demlow, an FBI official, warned that the threat of subversive information on social media could undermine support for the U.S. government. Okay, pause. Again, an FBI official warned that the threat of subversive information on social media could undermine support for the U.S. government. My question is, so fucking what? Our country was founded on people not trusting it. And if we are here, and if I don't want to support it, how is that a threat?
Not.
It's not. This should be encouraged. People should not, you know, and the founders knew this, and that's why they put it in our constitution. That's why they put it in the Declaration of Independence. People need to be able to take up arms. That's why the Second Amendment is there. That's why the First Amendment is there. It allows people to question those who govern them. That is not a threat. Laura Demlow and fucking FBI official. This is, okay, again, we've been saying this.
To communists.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a threat. The government is your religion. The government is your daddy. The government, it controls every aspect of your life because the government knows what's good for you. Ask the people of China, COVID zero, where they can lie. You have no Second Amendment. The government runs your entire life. They can lock you down and flip on a snap of a finger where one, you're walking through life. Oh, my phone's green. And all of a sudden, red, and you are locked down, taped to a fucking telephone pole because of fucking COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. This is exactly where we're going. This is why it's got to be defeated. And to Heidi's point, she says this all the time, and you mentioned it earlier. So what? Nothing ever happens. If nothing happens now, you might as well just pack it in and let it happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. If people that we elect do not fight, if they get the red tsunami that they're talking about, then I hope it happens because we deserve it. Yeah. Because we elected a bunch of assholes that don't give a shit about us that actually want this to happen because right. That's what they think of us. Sorry. Take everybody's gun. Fuck it. Just let it happen. Because we get so stressed and getting angry about it. Maybe you will own nothing and be happy is actually a good strategy, you know? But I'm ready to fight for it, but.
Well, a lot of these social media companies were denying that this was happening, or they were hiding it, or they weren't being open about it. And in fact, I think Twitter had their, what was that lady? What was her name? She went on the Joe Rogan show. And Joe Rogan, I think, point blank asked her, is the federal government involved in deciding who gets banned and who doesn't? Right? I think that was one of the questions. And
her name's like Vidra or something like that.
I forget what her name is.
Vagina. She actually was one of the ones that got laid off.
Yeah.
Right. And even Timcast. So she was on there with Timcast, yeah. Jack Dorsey.
Yeah.
And it was those three with Joe Rogan. And Tim, he was asking the questions. And yeah. She's like, no, you know, it's a three strike rule and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he kept going. He's like, what about this? What about? And she couldn't answer it.
Well, she didn't. Again,
she probably went back on later. She
specifically denied that the government had any involvement. Well, it turns out that they have, guys. Again, I'm not going to read this whole entire article, but I did want to read this thing here. Go find it. The Intercept, Social Media Disinformation, DHS, and you'll find it. All right. There is also a formalized process for government officials to directly flag content on Facebook or Instagram and request that it be throttled or suppressed through a special Facebook portal. So the social media company
have
given direct access to government officials. Now imagine, and this was happening during the 2020 election, folks. So, and who got banned during that time? So this is what we know so far. I'm pretty sure there's way more than this shit was happening. So you're telling me.
This has been going a lot longer than just this century.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back and think about what happened in the 20s and the 30s.
100%.
And the 40s. And
but we're finally, like, you think about it, like, what really caused everybody to really open their eyes out of the COVID shit, the New York Post story, right? How quick, because that's what a lot of this is around, the censoring of that New York Post story, right? Because even Zuckerberg came out on the Joe Rogan show when he asked him, he goes, and then he was like, yeah, the government kind of told us to be on a lookout for fake news. And this is probably disinformation and to squash it. So we purposely ran the algorithms he's like, we didn't ban it. We just pushed it all the way to the bottom. And we covered this on the show when Zuckerberg kind of alluded to that.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing that the government had backdoors into it. They had backdoors with Twitter. They had monthly meetings. JP Morgan Chase was on those meetings, guys. The banks, what's the banks doing on this?
My point is, though, this has been going on for decades and decades and decades all over the world. I mean, how ignorant to think that it wasn't happening right here in the U.S.
Because we were told that it could never happen here because we're a republic and we have the people looking out for our interests.
Yeah.
And we were sold a lie.
Yeah, it's been happening. This is a problem. This is why we should be allowed to distrust our government and question and prod and say, hey, you cannot claim that you're not doing something and it's happening. So, you know, we're not trying to say that this never happened. Of course, it's happening, but that doesn't mean that we don't call it out as we see it. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to continue reading here. And this is a key point here. How disinformation is defined by the government has not been clearly articulated. And the inherently subjective nature of what constitutes disinformation provides a broad opening for DHS officials to make politically motivated determinations about what constitutes dangerous speech. And that's it right there. We've allowed, so for example, if they still had their tentacles, fucking eight-legged octopus beast, because that's what they do. They have their tentacles all over everything, controlling shit. If they still had control of Twitter, you know, and again, we're up in an election. How many people got banned? Trump got banned, I think, right before the election of 2020, didn't he?
No, he got banned right after January 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Like the day after.
Exactly. So, because he instigated this. And now we know that this was an effort by the federal government. You don't think that the DHS during that time said, hey, you know, remove his account. I guarantee 100% it was these fools. It was these government officials, leftist government officials, who were saying, well, no, we can't have that. This is dangerous speech. But because they don't clearly define it, they get away with it. And so when you get flagged and when your videos get taken down, you don't know. I remember we started publishing on YouTube. Fucking our videos got muted. And they said, we got a ding. And I'm like, well, why? What happened? They don't tell you. They don't tell you why they do it. They just say it. You got. So I'm like, I'm not going to deal with this shit. But again, go read this. This provides a lot of information on what's been happening. And to Heidi's point, this has been happening for a long time. But there's a concerted
effort.
This is
Watergate.
Yes, exactly.
This is bigger than Watergate because this is now straight up government getting involved in
elections
and violating your First Amendment right. And they got caught. Not saying they never did it before. And people are like, oh, we think they did it. But there was never proof. You actually have proof now. There's written communication in this article, text messages, everything, emails. The pronoun people were involved in this because one of the government officials had the pronoun things on there saying, oh, we got to look into this stuff like this. Guys, this is fucking bad. This is really bad. This is, and I've said this numerous times on this show. They've been doing things, and the Uniparty's been doing this for decades, maybe even a century, okay? It's been a long plan. Now that people are awake and they're all exposed, their biggest fear are conservatives waking up. It wasn't about Democrats because they just were they told them one day to take a vaccine, the next day don't take a vaccine, and the next day take a vaccine, and now they love vaccines, and they take love meat, they hate meat, they hate everything. But a conservative, conservatives always said, I like this guy, the government, you know, we want limited government, just stay out of my life. And they did that. They played conservatives. The conservative party have played normal conservatives for decades. But now you're seeing it all come together and they're just like, whoa. When you see a conservative governor lock down his state for COVID, that opened up a lot of conservatives' eyes going, whoa, what the hell? Like, you're supposed to be limited government and you just gave yourself executive orders, the powers and all this. Some gave it up faster than others, but that opened a lot of people's eyes going, shit. Mandatory vaccinations? Why didn't you have my back on that? You let all these people fire us, and once DeSantis did it, then people started fighting. But nobody wanted to be the one to really say, "No, bitch, we're not doing that." Like, they waited for DeSantis to be the one, and then they all kind of chimed in. But still, they haven't passed laws in a lot of states that are Republican controlled that said you can never mandate the vaccine. Period. In our state. They still haven't done it. They talk a big game, but they still have not had our backs. So we're in a really weird spot right now with the people that we've elected.
Well, we'll see.
And to this proves it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're right, Tim. I think Republicans for a long time have just been Democrat light. And, you know, yeah. just the process is slower, but it's still happening. And to your point,
I think, guess I suffer from CFS.
Okay. What's a CFS?
Common fucking sense.
Well, your CFS wasn't really common sense because I couldn't figure it out. well, look, I do want to move on to something that's happening. And the reason I'm bringing this up because I saw the hearings on this, and I think it's worthwhile mentioning, you know, because we have a majority conservative court right now. It's no longer the Justice Roberts court, because for a long time, Justice Roberts was siding with the liberals on a lot of cases, and there was no point in him being there. He was just a rubber stamp for the leftist agenda. But now, because there's a majority and there's a supermajority of conservatives, I think he's kind of come around to voting with the majority. And one of the cases that was heard this week, they reviewed or had heard arguments, basically, on universities that try to apply, you know, basically affirmative action. So they apply certain criteria for admissions based on race, right? And so based on the questions that were being asked by the conservative judges, you guys got to hear some of this, because and here's why I say that the uniqueness about America is that whereas in certain countries that have tried to apply socialism, the fight was between the upper class and the lower class, the rich and the poor. A lot of times when you have countries that have moved towards that socialism and eventually communism, it was because they were able to pit the poor against the rich. And today in America, you have a big diversity of people, whether rich, poor, black, white, whatever race. And so what happened in universities was that the liberals were saying, well, we're going to apply quotas because we need to have minorities have a bigger representation in these Ivy League schools. But what happened was that they started noticing that Asian students were doing very, very well. And if they apply this criteria to Asians, then the schools would be full of Asians, because Asians are still considered a minority. Okay. So what they started doing is they started applying fucking weird shit that the Asian community started noticing, hey, why are we getting overlooked when we apply? And so they filed lawsuits against the university or Harvard University. And I think it's the University of North Carolina or one of those. And this has gone all the way up to the Supreme Court. And based on the questions that were asked, man, these questions the judges gave these people, fuck, I want to show you some of these. This is beautiful. The arguments given. Yeah, you want to say something, Jeremy?
Well, you're talking about questions. This is the application of to apply to get into the colleges. Ask these questions.
Sorry. Let me elaborate. It was the Supreme Court judges who are asking questions to the attorneys representing each side. So the group that's filing the lawsuit, they're called the Students for Fair Admissions, and they're you know, versus the president and people of Harvard and the University of North Carolina. So there were two cases that they've combined into one, and the Supreme Court is hearing both of those cases. But again, they're gonna because they're pretty much the same, and so they're gonna rule sometime next year, middle of next year, on this. But they hear the oral arguments this week. So let me just show you some a few minutes of this. And to me, this, when I watch this, I think this is a perfect example of what was that quote? If you can't impress them with your brilliance, you know, then baffle them with your bullshit.
Yeah, dazzle them with bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this explains this attorney fucking tap dancing to the direct questions of the judge. Again, this is affirmative action that has been applied for the last 50, 60 years. Okay? And this is why the left is freaking out, guys, because it's not just
a red wave coming. There's a Supreme Court that right now is about to overturn a lot of the long-standing bullshit that they passed 50, 60 years ago. All right, so let me play some of this.
This is based on character traits such as integrity, courage, kindness, and empathy. But the record shows that Asian student applicants get the lowest personal scores of any other group. What accounts for that? Is it has to be one of two things. It has to be that they really do lack integrity, courage, kindness, and empathy to the same degree as students of other races, or there has to be something wrong with this personal score.
I want to get to what the evidence was there, but that syllogism, with all due respect, is wrong. There was, for example, a study that was done in 1983 that looked at why it was that female applicants to graduate school at the University of...
No, just address this. The personal score that's given to Asian applicants to Harvard, why are they given a lower score than any other group?
Okay, so the answer to why they, as a group, why there is a slight numerical disparity with respect to the personal rating of Asian Americans, and also a slight numerical disparity to the advantage of Asian Americans with respect to the extracurricular rating and the academic rating, was the answer that...
So to just to break it down to you again, there's criteria that these colleges are using to be able to dance around the whole issue of having racial diverse colleges. However, the Supreme Court has ruled against, you know, racially discriminate against people based on race. And so the colleges are using what they're calling a personality rating, okay, which turns out that Asians score very low, are scoring lower on that. And the judge is asking him, well, what is that based out of? And this guy's responding with, well, they may score lower on this personality rating, but they in academics, they're scoring higher. Well, yeah, one of them is based on rating. The other one is based on some fucking arbitrary bullshit that he's trying to get an answer from. So I'm going to continue playing a little bit of this. But again, listen to this lawyer try to dance around that direct question. It's a direct question.
Their expert gave with respect to the latter two, which is that the only way that you can, the only model that can be created to figure out what was going into the personal rating, couldn't look at almost anything that admissions officers look at in those ratings. It can't, there's no way that it could model what the guidance counselor letters said, what the teacher letters said, what the essays said, what the interviewer's letters said. In other words,
I thought the interviewers did not rate the applicants lower than other applicants based on race. There was not the disparity in what was done by what was said by the interviewers.
With respect to the alumni interviewers, based on the subset that was included here, their subset, by the way, excluded all ALDC applicants. That is, even though they acknowledged that there was not only no evidence of discrimination against Asian American ALDCs, but they did better, they eliminated from their model applicants that represent, on average, 30% of the admitted class.
I still, putting aside the teacher recommendations or guidance counselor recommendations, which I'll come to, I still haven't heard any explanation for the disparity between the personal scores that are given to Asians. They rank below whites, they rank way below Hispanics, and really way below African Americans. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of applicants, maybe thousands. What is the explanation for that?
So the explanation that was, I can't do better than the findings of fact in the trial court as affirmed, but I want to make 2 points.
This guy doesn't answer the question.
They don't.
It's a simple,
nowhere in there does he.
Nobody ever answers the question.
Talk about it at all.
It's a simple question. Why and how are you measuring it? Why is are Asians scoring much lower? Because the answer would be either, they have a terrible, you know, personal record or whatever. They're just their culture, whatever. He can say that. He's not going to say that. But the real reason they're doing that is because Asians throw a wrench in their mantra, in what they believe, in saying, oh, well, if you, white privilege, right? Do Asians have white privilege in America? So then why do they perform very well? And so this is the fundamental question here. Now I'm going to show you another piece here, and then we'll move on. But I heard some of this case and I'm like, oh my God, these are freaking justices and I'm sorry, lawyers who are arguing in front of the Supreme Court. And I'm like, how can this person be up there and be tap dancing like this? This is bad. This is bad, guys. I didn't go to law school. I mean, some of these words, I'm like Googling them, whatever, but at least I'm like, okay, I'm understanding what the fuck is happening. And then you're realizing like this guy went to years of schooling to tap dance in front of the Supreme Court. All right. I know. Right?
Dude, you know what that sounded like? You know what that argument sounded like?
Yeah.
How many congressional hearings have you ever listened to? Where it's like they ask him a simple question. Can you define what a woman is? Oh, thank you, Senator, for that question. You know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, you're not answering the question. Oh, thank you again for the question, Senator. But like I stated, blah, blah, blah. It's like, right. Dude, you're just using word salad to frustrate me so that you can get your point across.
You're wearing out my five.
Yeah, you're wearing
limit.
Out my point. So people go, see, these justices have no idea what they're doing. And this guy's a hero because he's arguing a great case. No, he's just using a bunch of big words over and over again, getting people irritated.
You're right.
So can you help me understand why they're even having this argument at the Supreme Court level? Because I guess I misunderstood.
Well, I mean, it went through all the courts, you know. But
what are they trying to fight for? Are they trying to fight for
To abolish affirmative action in college admissions.
In school admissions.
Yeah.
So is it... obviously they're concerned about the college admission stuff, but I mean, if they make it through the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court decides, you can no longer apply affirmative action to these applications.
It's precedent.
Does that open it up for everything?
Yes.
People can then sue and say,
reference the Supreme Court case and say, this is
I don't know if they'll be able to sue, but going forward, all practices will have to change and this will be looked at differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the thing that happens when shit goes to a federal, goes to the courts. This is what happened with Roe v. Wade, right? It became the law of the land once the federal courts heard it. Because if this would have just stayed in the states, then whatever California did wouldn't affect Arizona. However, because this is now going, and this is again why this is such an important case that we're to follow, because this is, could be the dagger in the heart of the affirmative action crap that people have been applying for 50 whatever long years for all this time. Yeah.
But Jeremy, what's crazy is we had the civil rights movement in the 60s that, you know, changed a lot, you know, that kind of abolished a lot of the bullshit that was going on at the time.
Yeah.
But then the Democrats doubled down on it and said, oh, we got one better because we got to keep, what do they always do? They campaign on problems. They finally solve the problem because it was bipartisan. So they're like, shit, how do I get anybody to vote for me? I got it. I'm going to create a new problem.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We did this for a minute, you know, and now anybody that wants to go near it, we got the answer. You're racist. So now I can get my votes. This is all about, you know, the Democrat policies are being stripped away one by one. And now you're seeing it in the midterms. They have nothing to run on except for name calling and people going, wait a minute, I can't pay my bills. When the Republican says, hey, people are actually having to choose between eating and fucking heating their home or getting on the subway, getting jacked or driving in and paying $30 for gas and $100 for parking. And people are like, they're talking about real issues. When you're talking about January 6th, get the fuck out of here. I ain't got time for that. Abortion. I can't even afford a tuna fish sandwich. And you're talking about killing babies? Stop. That's not a priority right now. Exactly. That doesn't affect me. That's a first world problem. When you're talking about real problems, and the Republicans are like, hey, this is it. And they're showing videos of all the crime. And they're going, there's no crime in New York City. That's conspiracy theory and it's racist. And people go, motherfucker, my dad just got robbed. I got robbed on the street. My car got broken into. My best friend got shot. You can't deny that shit. You can't deny it. And when they go, we didn't say defund the police. That was a Republican thing. What, bitch? I got ACAB. You on. We got the tapes.
Remember?
We got the videos.
Did they really try that?
Yeah. They tried saying Republican because they're saying defunding the FBI. See, Republicans are trying to defund the police. No, we're trying to abolish the administrative state, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I'm gonna play one more of these. And again, I think this is one of the big cases, guys. If the Supreme Court is able to end this shit.
It's huge.
I was here. I think either Egan or Sotomayor, one of the female justices. I think
she's an idiot.
Is a product, but I think she's a product of Harvard. She needs to recuse herself. And I think a lot of these policies were implemented by her or reinforced by her during the time when she had tenure there. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that she's a product of the Harvard. And she's listening to this particular case. I think a lot of people are saying she needs to recuse herself. But I'm going to show you one more clip here.
A lot of people also saying that she's a product of affirmative action being picked for the Supreme Court. Exactly. And she kind of admitted to it.
They are.
And she kind of admitted to it when she was arguing the case.
Every single one of the girls there, females. This is the unfortunate thing that affirmative action has done. Because now people look at that and say, you're only there because of affirmative action. There was a lot of more qualified people who knew the law way better than you. And you were there because they had to meet a quota. And so again, this ends that bullshit. All right, so let me play this.
One's
again,
not a doctor.
What I say, this is no longer the Roberts Court because, listen, this Roberts asks this question, and this is crazy, dude. Listen to this one.
Being African American, or being Hispanic, or in some instances being Asian American. Can provide one of many, many tips that will put
people
you
say
in.
That, yes, but you will have to concede that if it provides one of many, then in some cases it will be determined.
I do concede
okay,
that.
Okay, so we're talking about race as a determining factor in admission to Harvard.
Race for some highly qualified applicants can be the determinant factor, just as being an oboe player in a year in which the Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra needs an oboe player will be the tip.
We did not fight a civil war about oboe players.
I.
We did fight a civil war to eliminate racial discrimination. Boom. And that's why it's a matter of considerable concern.
Exactly. That is such a beautiful. Thank you, Justice Roberts.
Finally, he showed up.
The Constitution is clear, right? Because he's saying, well, you know, just as much as race can provide points to somebody, so can them being an oboe player. Yeah, buddy, we didn't fight a war over oboe players. We fought a war to end racial discrimination. So no matter how they try to tap dance around this shit, it is what it is. You can't fight racism with racism. We've said this over and over again, diversity is... You know, it's another word for quotas. This is what it is. And a lot of those judges who are in there, who Supreme Court judges, are there because of this bullshit. And so they're going to protect it tooth and nail to make sure that it doesn't go away. And this is wrong. People were saying this all over online when I was watching these tweets and saying, well, you know what, students? And this is common sense to Heidi's point. CFS, common fucking sense. People should be judged by their merits, period. And so when this guy was saying, and there was an, I'm not going to play that. If you're interested, go search this. But there was another little exchange that happened where the judge is, you know, questioning this attorney. The Harvard guy was saying, look, the university sees this is beneficial to have diversity of many things, diversity of thought, diversity of experience, diversity of this, diversity of that. And then the judge says, okay, if we were to remove all this and just base it on merit, the number of either Hispanics, Blacks, and Asians is overrepresented in the admissions records based on the population. So even when they're trying to say that well, we're just trying to have a representation of the country. Well, no, you don't. Because you are over, whites represent a bigger majority, right, than all these other ones. So if you want to have it how it really is in the United States, you would have a lower representation of Blacks, Hispanics, and Asians,
right? But because there is this racial criteria, now you have an overrepresentation. And the judge may,
I wonder what percentage is male and what percentage is female.
Exactly.
Is that 50-50? I don't think so. Aren't women going to college more now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Females?
They don't care.
So you know what? Yeah, you hit whatever. You're admitting 10,000 students this year. Guess what? 5,000 have to be male.
Yeah.
You know what the choice is.
Yeah. Yeah.
How quick is that going to throw up pissed off people all over the country?
Well, a lot of people can just identify for what they want to nowadays. So
yeah, well,
how would you like to clarify that?
Chromosome tests?
Exactly. Just well, asking. Asking for a friend.
The issue, the case that they were arguing also, you know, this attorney that was defending the school's practices, you know, kept saying, well, you know, the school should be able to, you know, decide how it wants to, what kind of, and the judge was like, sure, but you're taking government funds from this. And so if a private college wanted to do this, that's very different than a public or a school that's taking public funds for this. So this is why that's a big question. So if you want to, you know, say, hey, we're not going to take federal funds and continue this practice. Okay, maybe that's a different thing. Maybe.
When you say federal funds, are you referring to student loans?
Grants, loans, anything. The government's
not giving it directly to Harvard, right? They're funneling it through
the
students.
No, yeah, they give grants.
Grants to the students or to the college?
To the college. They help fund science labs and all that shit.
But even the money
where do you think all these studies come from?
Endowments.
But even the money that they give to the students is ending up at this college. So they're going to, that is a reason why to.
Yeah. I mean, I could see if it was going to the student, right? The student applies for a loan. I'm going to go to Harvard this year, whatever, right?
But if you get a Pell Grant,
I need $75,000 to go to Harvard this semester. And since most of the banks or all of the banks have left lending, right? It's all government, federal government now. Then the federal government should be able to say, all right, well, Harvard doesn't meet our qualifications for equity, whatever, however they want to word it. So if you want to go to Harvard, you can't use a government loan for that. Right. That's
yeah. But I mean, you have endowment. I mean, the whole college machine we've been talking about, they've been making millions on endowments, government monies.
Oh, they're making millions by increasing their tuition because the government is subsidizing it.
And here's the thing. You probably will find out at some point that the government has been pushing them to do all this crap for decades, just like everything else. It's just that there's been no whistleblowers because it's been run by leftists. That's why they're freaking out about, even though I don't like them, you know, the Rhino Ben Sasse being picked to be the president of, I think, Florida University, right? Now, you know, so now you have a Republican running a college and now you're going to start bringing more conservative ideals, which means to a lot of people that he's going to find out some things and be like a dissent and blow the lid off what these colleges have been doing. If one's doing it, they're all doing it.
Yeah,
or majority.
Most likely, yeah.
So, but you got to listen to Clarence Thomas's rebuttal,
nope,
man.
He's gone.
Clarence Thomas, he had, I don't remember exactly, but man, he destroyed them as well.
I was actually curious to know what his take was going to be as one of the minorities on the Supreme Court.
He was very conservative. He was very vocal. And of course, you know what happened. The media and everybody destroyed him. Calling him, you know, the typical names.
Uncle Tom, white supremacist.
Yeah, conservative. He's Uncle Tom. All the crap that they can do. You know, that he was an affirmative action hire and he shouldn't be talking and he should be recused because his wife wanted to decertify the elect. Again, nothing they ever say holds any truth.
Yeah.
It's all just
feelings and emotions.
It's all screech. It's all screech. At least when I get loud, I'm actually spitting facts just very
sometimes you get loud and act dumb too and say stupid shit. Yeah.
Majority of the time it's based on
politics stuff, you mean?
Because
boy stuff, I just get to get mad.
But with the politics, you see what's going on and you just get passionate about it. But you're hitting them with their own words on, you just get frustrated by it. But these people just screeching like, oh, you can't question an election. That's an impeachable offense. No, that's freedom of speech.
That's a patriotic duty.
That's a patriotic duty, right? But like these people, they just, if you don't agree with them, It's groupthink. It's cult mentality. Right. If you don't think they're okay with free speech, as long as it's what they believe in.
Yeah.
If they don't believe in you, it's you're not, a well, Nazi white supremacist.
In that case, it's not free speech.
Think about it. These leftists and progressives that have destroyed every. They destroyed the meaning of all these words by the way they just throw it out. Oh, I don't like you. Ah, racist. Oh, climate change. Oh, that affects people of color more than white. Like what? Like you can't just throw racism and homophobia and transphobia on as your final argument because people
meta
are just
tags on everything.
Yeah. They're like, oh, inflation isn't real. It's racist. What? Racist. Talking about inflation is a sign of white supremacy. What? What? Like, come on, dude. Like, now they say being fat, talking about fatness is a sign of white supremacy. No, you're fat. You know what I mean? Yeah. But we've allowed them to, okay, you know what? Maybe you're right.
They're changing the meaning of words. Right.
But we,
you know, and we've been talking about this for a while, not to change subject, but I'm going to.
Well, we have no choice.
Right. But the thing is, this idea of them changing the meaning of words, right? When they first started doing it, we were like, well, that's weird. Why would you do that? And one of the first things that comes to mind, one of the first like big words that they tried changing the meaning to was marriage. They started with, well, you know, two men can be married, two women can be married. It's just like, well, not really. It's kind of defined as a man and a woman, you know, agreeing to,
now
to
it's
be
the
together
union between two people.
Right. And so that's, we allowed them to change the meaning of that word.
Open the floodgate. You gave them an inch. Now they took the yard. Yeah. Now look what they, okay. Now another definition. Vaccine.
Oh yeah. Now they
think about it. A vaccine was supposed to be the end all be all.
Inoculation,
right?
Against something. You're not supposed to turn around and then all of a sudden.
Right. And then they said, oh, then it's prevention.
Hold on. He's not recording.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
You just killed the recording on our side.
Yeah. So let me, sorry. I know you guys were talking. So I'll use whatever you guys were talking about and I'll just rejoin.
Yeah.
Here.
We just kept it going, dude. We just kept it going in case.
Right. Is it recording now?
Yes. It shows recording.
All right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So you were saying with some of the things about the affirmative action, right? So basically, you know, as you were talking about, you know, finally, you know, Mr. Roberts finally kind of showed up, finally. You know, and being, you know, showing his conservative roots and asking the simple questions. We finally hit a point, I think, in society and in politics and just this whole thing. I think everybody is, I think the word is out because we have fighters now that it's okay for a conservative to fight back. And fuck what the New York Times and Washington Post has to say about you, because you know what? They don't care about you. So even if you bow to them, they're still going to bury you. So fuck them. Do what's right. Hold to your ideas. Hold to your ideals, your morals. You know, if you say you're conservative, be conservative. If you're progressive, be progressive. I have more respect if somebody says, I'm a socialist. Great. I'm glad you're a socialist and you believe in that. We can have a simple conversation. Right? We can debate now, but don't be like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I believe in fracking. Then I don't believe in fracking. Then I believe in, you know, just to, no. But that's what they do because they know their policy sucks. And if you talk to any normal person, the policies don't work. If you told somebody, hey, without the Supreme Court case, you talk to normal people, go, hey, if you applied to college and they were determining your enrollment based on your race, is that good or bad? You know what most people say?
A racist.
It's wrong. That they go, didn't we fight civil wars and we had the Civil Rights Act and Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm, all this shit they fought for. And now we're back to this? Like, it doesn't make sense to most people, right? Outside of Washington, D.C., because that's how they get voted, right? But most people, if you break it down to them simply, the policies do not work for 95% of this country. And that's what they're afraid of.
Well, I mean, we said it, and the goal is to keep people entertained and with all this other bullshit so that they can implement their policies so that they can. I was listening to the president of El Salvador. You should watch that interview with Tucker Carlson that he had. It was actually really good, where he talks about this. He's talking about there's a transition that's happening with the Federal Reserve, with currency, with decentralized currency, because we said it this before on here, where El Salvador is gone. They're embracing Bitcoin and all this other cryptocurrency, and that's one of the things that he was talking about. He was like, look, all these governments don't want to lose control of this, being able to print money and having control. And because we've said this, inflation is theft, guys. When the government prints money, they're stealing from you. Taxation, which is theft, because there was no law, you didn't agree to it, and they devalued your currency. So this is wrong. But the reason they're able to do this in plain view is because they keep us entertained with all this, racial crap, with all this, abortion shit, all these other little male, female fighting against each other, all this crap is what keeps people entertained so that they can't focus on the bigger issue, which is they're robbing from us. If a bank robber goes into any local bank and steals whatever, everything that's in the vault, goes to jail for whatever, how many years, and deservedly so. But when the federal government does it, crickets, and they're robbing everybody of our retirement funds,
freedoms.
Exactly. Life, because when you make a plan,
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes. And so, you know, we can sit here and argue all these different things, but at the end of the day, Tim, you're right. I think this is the ultimate goal, is to keep people just busy. That way they can focus on, or make a generation of people so freaking hypochondriacs with the COVID. That's what they did. They did it successfully. How many people were like, oh my God, I'm going to shut the fuck up.
They're still like it.
Yes.
People at my job still walk around with masks.
Get moron.
Like, I had a guy come into my area because he was doing like a shadow. The guy wore a mask for 8 hours. I was like, but you shook my hand, but you're wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like, that defeated the purpose.
You should have shaken his hand and then quickly used antibacterial.
But in my head, like, I see somebody walking around. I can see if you're dealing with some of the things that, you know, these people deal with in the labs and whatnot. Absolutely. I don't want to breathe that in. But once I leave that, take it off. But these people wear it around. I'm like, y'all crazy. Mm. You know, getting vaccinated is still in their signatures. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, stop it. This is not a vaccine. It's nothing. It's really nothing. No. It's poison. Poison. I don't give a shit. It's fucking poison. It doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't stop you from anything. It's killing people by the fucking millions, or hurting them with myocarditis and everything else. But no, we can't talk about that because the government knows what's best for you. You're anti-science. You're anti-fucking Elon Musk. You're a you're this, you're that, you're a Nazi. Fuck them. Fuck them. Yeah. Fuck them all. And that's exactly what, back to the affirmative action case and the Elon stuff that we've been talking about, and everything else. To me, this sums it all up. The people in control are fucking crazy and they need to be stopped.
Yes.
A red tsunami doesn't mean we just hold hearings and everything. No, we abolish the administrative state. If they say, hey, the FBI needs money. No, bitch. You're going to change your policies. We're going to impeach some people. IRS, you're not getting your budget for $87,000, no, because we know what you're doing. This shit's not happening. The government doesn't get bigger under a red tsunami. The government's supposed to get smaller. If it doesn't get smaller, then we vote the next guys out. It's got to stop. Because the people, they work for us. We don't work for them. And they need to remember that.
So I think this is this is going to be our last political show because the elections are next week. So we will have our show. So vote accordingly, folks. And get out there. Don't rely on the rest of us going to vote. You need to go vote as well.
And get five of your friends to vote.
Educate.
And get five of their friends to vote.
Yes.
The only way, to be the change, only way to get change is be the change.
And vote red. These fucking liberals are going to ruin us. All right, we're going to have to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
I like Venn diagrams.
thank you for listening to this episode of the Salty Show.com.